Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Yeah, welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Yeah, it's me, Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's going on, everybody? I hope you had a great weekend. And are getting ready for the big turkey day. I've been stretching out my stomach and not eating and then, you know, getting it ready so I can load up that turkey and get a little good nap in, too, after all that tryptophan. But, you know, I was thinking of taking up a collection to send all those jackasses out of this country that swore they would leave if Donald Trump won. So let's take up a collection for Whoopi Goldberg and Samuel Jackson and Amy Schumer and all the other assholes that were crying like a bitch because Trump won the election. Okay, let's send them out of here. They all said they're going to leave, but yet it's 2 weeks later and they're still all here. I mean, what are they waiting for? They hate the very country that let them make those millions of dollars to be big mouths and try to sway people's vote because they're celebrities. So let's take up a collection and send them out on their way. Because they don't love this country the way that you should. And again, we're not a perfect country, but you have to at least recognize where we are and who we are. And if you want to be, you know, I have no problem pre-election. Everybody's fighting. They fight dirty. Hey, go for it. No problem. You know, but when you make a threat, get the hell out of here. Who the hell wants you in this country? I mean, you know, Samuel Jackson, what's in your wallet? I hope it's a passport to get out of the United States of America. And Amy Schumer, you know, and I don't know, what's her name? Miley Cyrus. You know, she just sung the national anthem somewhere. Got paid probably $100,000. But yet she hates this country because of Donald Trump. Now, can you tell me how can anybody be that imbecilic to make ridiculous comments and not go? I mean, you know, let's get them out. Let's ship them out of here. Put them in a cattle car where they belong. Because, you know, hey, you made a big statement. You made a big play. You tried to scare people into voting. Okay, and Mark Cuban, go with him, too. You know, the guy who was going to give up all his money if Trump would win and called for the markets to collapse if Donald Trump gets elected. Okay, well, I guess they're not collapsing considering they're on record highs. And the S&P is the last one, which will probably make it this week. I mean, you know, so we're going to sit here and have these imbeciles that make millions of dollars and pay their accountants and lawyers millions of dollars to help them skirt the very issues that they're complaining about, right? I mean, we've talked about this before, but it's always worth going over because, of course, they all create shell companies that pay minimum wage basically to them. You know, pay themselves. You know, Warren Buffett is the best example because I actually have those numbers. He makes $12 million a year, but he pays himself $100,000 in salary, so the rest of his money is not subject to the same tax rate. But yet, he'll bitch and moan and cry and we're in taxes, you know, pay more taxes. Okay? And then, of course, you got your guy George Soros, who is not a natural-born citizen, or maybe he is. I'm not sure. I don't know. In 1961, he became a citizen of the United States. He's Jewish, yet he hates the Jews. Okay? There's a good guy. Supposedly, now again, this is rumor. I have no knowledge of this. I read about it, that they were involved in a lot of espionage and other things. Okay? And again, I have no proof. I'm just setting what I read, okay? But they did a lot of damage, supposedly, I put in front of that, to the Jews, you know, way back in the day. And, you know, again, here's a guy that's trying to create a morvester. Why? Because, well, he don't have his puppet in the office so that he can get, you know, his money to make it more money, okay? I mean, there's a guy that made his original fortune and shorting the British pound, I believe. Okay. And, you know, so all of these whining, complaining crybabies, let's ship them out of here Okay, and if California wants to secede, let them secede too. I mean, you know, what are we now being held hostage by the IMBYs? Okay, you know, you're talking about the Walking Dead. We got the Walking IMBYs now that want to cry and complain, but yet they're still here. They didn't leave those mansions. I wonder why. It's always a shock. And I still see Samuel Jackson doing commercials for Capital One. My God. I mean, so are we going to sit here and sit back and let these people try to control everything? And there's a bunch of them. I mean, I don't know, there's like 40 or 50 in total. I can't remember all of them. Bryan Cranston, the idiot from the political show, John Stewart. You know, again, look, you know what? America is a wonderful place, and people fought to get here. People are dying to get here. And yet the people that are here don't appreciate the country. And because their guy or gal, in this case, didn't win the election, they want to move. And you know what? I wish the hell they'd go. Because to me, that's the most worthless piece of crap that I've ever heard. Okay? And it's the dumbest thing because, again, as I say, not one of them left. And I watched somebody bawling like a baby, crying, oh, my God, it's so bad. Okay, and, of course, she's still here, too. So, I mean, if you know, let's collect and throw them out. Okay, I think we should just throw them out. Okay, and along with their movie roles and their TV shows and everything else that they have. Because let them see how it is. You know, to have to live under the regime of the Clintons and the thievery that goes on with those administrations. Okay, all of them. Let's throw them out and quit supporting what they do, because we're just giving them more fodder to take care of them, not for us. So you think that we should really continue to support them when they hate us? When they hate the very system that took care of them, that they were able to make so many millions of dollars from? I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with being on the Democratic side, just like there's nothing wrong with being on the Republican side. But yet, here we are, okay, having them kind of threaten that they're going to leave, and sheesh, I wish they'd go. And of course, the biggest one, though, and I save this for last, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, okay? Of course, she'll get carried out because she's about ready to drop anyways, but can you imagine she's going to move to a Supreme Court justice talking that she's going to leave the United States of America if Donald Trump wins the election? Now, are you kidding me? A Supreme Court justice who should know the Constitution backward and forward and should know the history, okay, is threatening to leave the United States of America because of Donald Trump winning the election. Well, why didn't she turn her robe and get the hell out of here now? Again, I ask the question is, if you're going to make the threat, make it good. Nobody wants you. Nobody respects you. And you show how bad you really are. Okay? And everybody wonders why the Supreme Court should not be lifetime appointments, but should be voted in and have term limits, just like everybody else. Because here we have a Supreme Court today that is, well, it's not 5-4 anymore, but used to be 5-4. Every major decision was done the same way. But now I've got a Supreme Court justice that says, I'm going to Canada or wherever she's going. I didn't know where she's going. I take that back. I know where she's going. I just read she was going. And I want to help her too. I'd like to see her resign, pack up, and get the hell out of here as well. Because again, if you don't want to be in America and you don't want the benefits of being an American, then get the hell out of this country, because nobody wants you. Nobody wants to see you. And nobody wants to hear your rhetoric and your crap. Because it's all garbage. This is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horse, and I'm telling you, I'm so tired of this election crap. Anyways, you know, when you miss a show, you go to libertytalk.fm, and you know, we have so much programming that there's enough to keep you occupied 24 hours a day. So go to libertytalk.fm and check it out. Go to bubbatrading.com and check that out, and make sure you get yourself set up, because something's going to happen here. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horse. Be back after the break with our friend Jane King. The Bubba Show. Bubba Horse.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome back. back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the very talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, and one of the best reporters in the world. What's up, Jane?
Oh, hi, Todd. Okay. Studying this market, which has been absolutely fascinating since the election. I mean, all the different sectors that are rotating around and moving and adjusting is just, I mean, shipping companies up 1,500%. I mean, it's crazy what's going on.
Isn't it amazing? And isn't it amazing that how all of a sudden all of our troubles went away and we're just going straight up right now? I mean, it is amazing the way the markets have been acting. And, we've got all-time new highs in the Dow, all-time new highs in the Russell. And
and
puttering along, but going up is the Nasdaq and the S&P, which are a little bit diverging parts of markets. And you know, we'll see. What's your take? What do you think? Are we going to the moon? Are we never going down again? What's your opinion?
Well, a lot of this, I think, is just kind of a readjustment. I mean, the shippers have just been horrible over the past year. I have a friend who's an attorney that represents a lot of these Greek shipping companies, and you know, he's talked to me about them from time to time, and you know, just how terrible it's been for them. Grocery stores, you know, the infrastructure stocks, pharmaceuticals. I mean, just what's fascinating is how so many people got things so wrong, and how it's just created riches for people who are on the right side. I mean, I wish I would have thought before, hey, let's take a little bit in some of these penny Greek shipping stocks and just see what happens. I mean, it's really been amazing. And biotech's another one, it's done really well since the election. So it's fascinating to see what happens. And, you know, with the stimulus plan and tax cuts, I mean, all that stuff is very bullish.
It is very bullish. But, you know, now from my point of view, the markets are a little bit overvalued beforehand. And even if he can do everything he wants to do, I mean, how much farther can they push? I mean, he's still, first of all, is he 60 days from office or whatever it is?
Well, yeah, January 20th. So, yeah, I guess about that, right?
All right, so 60 days from office and probably 50 or 60 days until he can do anything. And then will it be that good? And can we overcome a lot of the bad economic problems, not only here, but around the globe? I mean, you know, just because he's making some of these changes, and if he gets them through, doesn't mean that all of a sudden all the old problems go away. I mean, we're still having a mountain full of debt. And if you've watched, you know, the bond market, which, you know, you and I have talked about before, I said that the bond market is going to tell the Fed to go scratch and take them up anyways. And they really have been pushing interest rates higher here. What do you think about that?
Oh, huge. And I mean, it's interesting because it's like the Fed just sits around and here's the bond market like, okay, we're just going to do it ourselves. I mean, the market, you know, is essentially just answering what's going on. So, of course, you know, if you're looking to buy a mortgage, you should have locked in before the election. I'm sure people are like, duh. We're still right around 4%. I mean, it's not ridiculously high, but there were better prices on interest rates a couple of weeks ago. You know, the record amount of money went into stocks last week in ETFs. Financial sector, by far the biggest beneficiary, healthcare. And, you know, you talk about global, I mean, there's a populism wave going on globally. I mean, the French right candidate is now leading in the polls. So we could see France, things turn around there. They had a socialist president for a while. So I don't know. Things might have completely changed here in the past 10 days.
Now, what is your take? I mean, you're in the big city of New York, and you've got a mayor who's a jackass. But what's your take of the sanctuary city stuff?
Oh, I think it's terrible. I think it's terrible. I don't understand it. I mean, I don't. By the way, you know, I work with people here at the NASDAQ, and they come in early like I do, like 3 a.m. And they're not certainly what I would call Republicans. And they're like the homeless problem being terrible in Times Square. And one of the guys who, you know, is a big dude, a Puerto Rican dude, and you wouldn't want to mess with him, videotaped all the homeless on his phone. And walking in like the 2 blocks after he parked his car, and he was like, it was never like this. I mean, he's very disappointed with de Blasio as well. So I think, you know, we got to like clean this up. I mean, this is not about not being compassionate. It's not about, it's chaos. Our immigration system is just chaos, and it's got to be cleaned up. It's got to be organized. You know, we should let people come in who want to work, want better opportunities, but do so legally and learn the language. And I just think, you know, it's just gotten out of hand. And it's one of the reasons why we're having so much tension in our country right now after the elections, because the previous generation let it get out of hand.
And you're right. And of course, you know, the other thing we look at is the protesting going or still going around. Now, I mean, I get being unhappy, and I have no problem with that. But if you wanted to protest, why didn't you vote? Why didn't you go out beforehand and protest instead of now when it's over? The game's over. The competition has been won by Donald Trump. Now let's get behind the president and see if we can make it better. If you don't like him, you can vote him out in 4 years. I mean, what do you think of that? What's your opinion?
Don't you love all these protesters who didn't even vote? I mean, Portland actually did a study. I mean, kudos to that local TV reporter that had the ingenuity to do a study on this. It found 70% of those arrested did not even vote in the election. And what about Colin Kaepernick? I mean, didn't vote. I mean, it's like,
he's not,
know,
even,
it's hard
he,
to have
he's not even
sympathy.
Registered to vote.
It's a joke. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's like, they just can't even understand how all this is linked together. And I mean, it's just, it destroys his credibility and destroys the credibility of the protesters. I mean, it's just sit down and move on and be more responsible and vote next time.
Well, now, I was in Michigan talking to the Michigan Teachers Association on Thursday, trying to get them to put in my high school investing program. And, you know, it's amazing where we in education, we put the importance to students and teachers in this Common Core. You know, I'm anti-Common Core, but I actually had a chance to sit down and talk with these people, and they go, man, we got to get these programs in because people, even the teachers don't understand pure financial literacy, and we don't educate enough. And I know you're working on your new project, and, you know, give us an update on how that's going, but also, you know, to explain to everybody why it's so important to understand, you don't have to be a trader, but understand why it's so important to understand just financial literacy, basic understanding.
It's just, I mean, it's crucial for just daily life. I mean, the fact that this stuff is not taught in schools is just unbelievable, shocking, and inexcusable. I mean, they really should start in elementary school. I mean, you know, it should be taught just simple money budgets, little budgets. I mean, give kids $10 and have them divide it up into three separate pots and show where the money goes and what do you do when it runs out, and then get more advanced as you go through your education. Talk about how interest works, compound interest, credit card interest. I mean, how much you end up paying for a pair of jeans if you pay up the minimum. I mean, this is like basic stuff for people to learn to function in life and live a responsible life. And it's good for the country. It's good for individuals. And I just, for the life of me, I can't understand why this isn't taught. And I wish that, you know, Donald Trump would hire me to be, you know, Secretary of Kids Financial Literacy. I mean, you and I could come up with a whole brand new program and it would change a generation.
No, I mean, look, you know, the bottom line is the economy wouldn't be in half the problems it was in if we taught kids, you know, what to do and how to, because the sadness is, you know, and you've seen this and since you've been in the industry, how many adults that have no idea and they just rely on, you know, a broker. And there's nothing wrong with brokers except that you should at least understand what they're doing, because after all, it is your money, is it not?
No, you have to understand. And how brokers make money doing, you know, they have different ways of doing it. I mean, they get paid based on your gains. They get paid based on the stocks, you know, that you buy, you know. And it's just all the different ways they're paid and the questions to ask. And, I mean, I've met so many people in my career that are like, I have no idea how any of this works. I mean, I dealt with a TV producer just recently who asked, who do we attribute, you know, the closing numbers to? Like it was just exclusive to the Wall Street Journal or something. And I was like, no, these are numbers that are public and published everywhere. You don't need to attribute them. I mean, this is a TV producer. So, I mean, I'm speechless. I mean, I'm speechless because people don't have a basic understanding of how this stuff works. It's such a big part of our lives. It's like health and, you know, everything else that you do in your life. And, I hope something gets done about it, and I'm doing my part, and I wish I could do more.
And I know you do, and Jane King, you always bring good things to the Bubba Show. You are the best. Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kachin Report, as always, thank you so much for being a part of it.
Thanks, Todd.
That was our friend Jane King as we get ready to come up here to a break, but you know, I marvel at the things. And of course, you know, Jane does agree with a lot of things that we talk about, and sometimes she doesn't. But again, that's the part of the system. We don't always have to agree. But in the meantime, when you miss an episode and you want to hear me and Jane and Matt and all the others, LibertyTalk.fm will get you there. And again, that's all the content you'll ever need right there at LibertyTalk.fm. In the meantime, check out BubbaTrading.com as we get ready to go and offer some specials going into the end of the year as we are winding down our classes. We will have a new session coming up after the first of the year. In the meantime, Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, we're going to step by for a break. We'll be back with Matt Demeter from Australia right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Margie said, Roy.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Chalady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And today, the man is all over the world. Today he's in Sydney, Australia, and he's making time for you and me to give us his evaluation of these ridiculously stupid markets right now. And Mr. Demeter, how's the trip?
It's going great.
Yeah, and what's the markets look like to you? Just give us a general overview. I know you're not watching a lot because you're out traveling around, but what's your general overview of the action we've seen recently?
Well, it's close. I think we're pushed right up against resistance, and if we break a little bit higher, it's going to start causing my patterns a lot of problems. So last time we spoke, we talked about the NASDAQ, and if it broke to a new high, it actually broke to a new high by 3 or 4 points, which isn't really enough to, you know, break the pattern. But if it were to go another 10 points higher, that would probably be enough. 10, 15, then I would say that there's another up leg to go before we get any real sell-off.
It's amazing, isn't it, that the markets are pretty much overdone to begin with, and they keep going. I mean, again, you can't fight what's going on, but it is amazing that they have just totally gone rocket ship to the moon with no regard for anything. And, of course, the interesting thing I think I've seen is there's been most days there's more new lows than new highs, yet we're at all-time highs in 3 of the 4 indexes now.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, the broader market, you know, the Russell 2000 and the small caps, you know, they've done so well. We talked about the commercials. They've now gone net short Russell, so they no longer have an incentive to push them higher. So that may be, you know, that may be in our favor, you know, coming from a bearish point of view. But now they're bearish of all the major indices, with the exception of the S&P, where they're neutral, but their position size in the S&P is small.
Right. And typically you would assume, I mean, again, I don't know this for a fact, but I would assume they have longs and they're playing shorts against their longs, and their biggest position in the long would probably be in the S&P 500, which is where all the big caps hang out. So that would be my guess if I were to analyze it. But so we've got, you know, markets at grind. But I noticed something interesting, and I know you follow all this, and I know you're away, so you may not have as much of the information. But every day since the rally, the volume has basically been declining every single day as well, and we're now down to a crawl coming into Thanksgiving week. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's probably, you know, we're going to see more of that with Thanksgiving week here. You know, but yeah, we'll see how it picks up after. Yeah, if we're low volume, we're probably just drifting. We'll see. Then it doesn't really affect the patterns I'm looking at. But yeah, that is interesting. We're just drifting higher on low volume.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, it doesn't, you know, the pattern is a pattern. You can't, you know, we're not volume traders necessarily, but it's interesting to see. And I think it was interesting when you look at, you know, the different things that we look around the market. The dollar has got almost to your 102 top target within pennies of it. What's your views of the dollar here?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, very specifically 102.3, 102.4 will be where the dollar tops out. And, you know, it's working out well with what I'm looking at in the euro. The euro is really close to a bottom as well. So for me, either the euro right around here, around, you know, just below 106, or there's another possibility down at 104. If we broke below 104, you know, actually I should say 103 just to give it a little bit of wiggle room. Then we could say something else is happening, but I have very strong support around 104 through 106 in the euro, and likewise with the dollar. I think, you know, 102.3 or 0.4, that should be it, and then we should see a pretty big reversal there.
Now, are you following the pound at all?
Yeah, we've been long since the little flash crash. We got what was it now? 2 months ago.
Okay. Oh, on Brexit, you got long?
No, on we had the little flash crash.
Went down to
118.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that looks good. Do you follow copper at all?
Yeah, I do follow copper, and my last call on that was bad. We got through resistance at I think it was about 230, and broke above. And once we broke above, we stopped out of a short. But the move that we've seen to the highs, I think it was a 270, something like that. I haven't looked at it recently, but that went to the next level. So that is probably it for copper. And what was also interesting, copper, you know, always I always look at what the commercials are doing. They were already net short at the time of the move, and they drastically increased their shorts once we got up to those big highs. So now that they're heavily short.
Yeah, copper. Right. I saw that. I call that a blow off top, and of course I said that I thought copper wouldn't get past the 245 when I did it was trading about 245, and I thought that would be about the end of it. It looked like it was going straight up, and it did finally turn around. And we've had some interesting action. Is there anywhere you're seeing particularly good or particularly a lot of action, or is it all pretty blasé everywhere right now?
Well, I'll let you know. I think euro is if you want to know if I'm bullish on something, I'd say it would be the euro. I'm still bullish on, you know, the meats, though. I think live cattle is at its first resistance, which we talked about last week, about one, you know, in the 108s. Whether it be December or February, we're right at, you know, that first resistance line. Most things right now, I'm bearish, actually.
Well, no, I mean, I don't care if you're bearish or bullish. I mean, but there is no such thing as a can't miss, right? But is there something you're saying to yourself that this looks like the perfect setup? Is there any of those out there right now? I mean, you know, I look at it and I say, you mentioned cattle. I say the cattle markets are both right at those levels right now. You know, we had on Friday, they had the cattle on feed report, and you know, it was moderately bullish. But with the rally that they have, I think they've way over rallied what the report shows, and I would look for some selling from here. Not to mention that I was already, you know, looking to sell about 108 anyways in the fat cattle, which is what you're talking about, live cattle. And so, I mean, I think that it'll tie in perfectly with that. But overall, I mean, you know, sometimes you see a pattern and you just say, man, I got to get in there. You know, it doesn't really work. But sometimes you just see it and they're like so easy that you can't stand yourself. And sometimes they're not. And are you seeing any of those that are so easy you can't stand yourself?
The only thing like that is what we talked about with euro and dollar. And we're not quite there yet, but we're close enough that it could happen this week. That's my biggest position right now is long euro. I think that's the closest one to can't miss. But the, you know, a lot of other things we're just waiting on. You know, of course, you know, bullish, long-term bullish to metals, but we are not even close to the lows I'm expecting. So, you know, that's a long-term one that we're waiting for.
All right.
Otherwise, yeah, I'm fairly blasé about most markets right now.
And I mean, they are pretty much, it's like, I guess, now, why would you pick long euro versus short dollar? Is there a reason behind that?
Euro has a, you know, each of them have their own, pattern. And the dollar, although the euro is, you know, what, 60% of the dollar, you still have the yen out there that's playing, what, a 17% interest or something like that in the dollar index. You've got the pound. I'd be bullish both the yen and the, and we are bullish the pound. We are long the pound, not long the yen, because I don't want to play with the yen from the long side, just because you never know what's going to come out of the Bank of Japan, and you know that could be extreme. But the pattern of euro is a little bit it's own pattern. So we're both long euro and short dollar, but more so the euro.
No, I got you. I mean, look, I'm not trying to pin you down. I'm just, you know, like I said, sometimes, you know, I look at something, you know, like when I looked at when I look at oil here at 46, 47, to me, that's a no-brainer. Now, I don't see any reason for oil to move any higher. I mean, it certainly can. I mean, but, you know, with all the news they're trying to play up to it, with all the OPEC and all the other crap they're trying to put up with it. But in the meantime, you know, we're not fundamental traders, but from a fundamental standpoint, there's no reason that oil would go higher, especially with the new fine they just found. Plus, we've already got oversupply, and in my opinion, OPEC's not going to do jack. So, I mean, it's a matter of, you know, where are we and how are we going to get there? And to me, it seems like an easy short here, and it seems like it was an easy long in the euro currency the other night. It popped down to, I think, 105.90, and it was like a 2 minute straight down shot. And I go, man, I got to step in and buy this just for at least for a trade, which I did. But at the end of the day, I mean, markets are very quiet, and it's like they're getting ready to make some big move. But we'll come back and talk more about that with Matt after the break. Live from Sydney, Australia. Man, the man's unbelievable. It calls in, doesn't care. This is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, our roving reporter for the next couple of weeks. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every day, as well as The Sporting Edge on Saturdays. We're going to step by over break. We'll be right back. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming back to you with more from Sydney, Australia. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, coming to you live from Sydney, Australia on his, I don't know if it's his honeymoon or he's working, but he just got married, so it's probably a little bit of combination of both. So, Matt, we got all kinds of stuff, and of course, it's hard to really, you know, we don't want to push markets, we don't want to press, because, you know, that only gets us into trouble. But, you know, we have the markets at all-time highs, and of course, traditionally, we get that Santa Claus rally, and it usually comes, in your opinion, has it come yet? Is it like early this year? Are we like everything else? The stores are advertising earlier, everybody else is early. Is Santa early this year too, or is this just a function of what's going on, and we can still see more from the Santa Claus rally?
Well, you know, we're right at resistance. So, you know, I think now is a great place to short. I would be shorting the NASDAQ right here. There's only about 10 points of loss. I'd short right here and then stop out, save 10, 15 points higher. And I think that would be an awesome trade. If we break higher than that, yeah, then the Santa Claus rally's on. And I wouldn't get in the way of it. I'd wait till, you know, the end of December, early January to start thinking about shorting again. It's funny that you mentioned, you know, all the advertisements for Christmas. When we got here November 11th, and there was Christmas decorations everywhere here in Australia. So I guess, you know, they're possibly even earlier than than the U.S.
It's amazing what's going on here. Now, do you when you talk about the NASDAQ, are you talking about the NDX? Or are you talking about the NASDAQ futures? Or are you talking about the comp, the NASDAQ indices?
The composite, yeah, NASDAQ composite index.
Okay, just want to make sure because they are a little bit different in prices. And what's your take in the Russell here, Matt? I mean, this has been, I mean, a 14% move is quite large for anything. And it's been unbelievable. It went from, in the last year, it's gone from a bear market to a bull market to a bear market. And it's been pretty wild. But do you think that's a little bit overextended at all?
Yeah, I do. I think we're up at current, we're at resistance. We're not necessarily, the thing is, I don't think we're at final resistance. I don't think we're at, you know, the final top of this bull market. I don't think necessarily the S&P is either. NASDAQ is the only one I could make an argument for that we're at the final top. And then expect like a 30-40% sell-off. I think those are coming later, but I do think we're at, you know, across the board, we're at resistance levels that should, you know, have some effect and push the markets back down. So yeah, you know, Russell, I have no problem shorting. It's way overextended as far as the indicators as well. So, you know, it's a high probability short right there. And, you know, the commercials had made a radical, if you look at what they did in their Russell 2000 futures contracts, they dumped a ton of their longs and they radically increased their shorts. So now they went from a big net long position to a big net short position. And that doesn't cover the, you know, the last 3 days of the week. So it's probably just become, you know, a little more extreme.
Now, what's your take on, I think I'm losing my mind. Louise, I have lost my mind. So let me just reformulate something else here while we're talking. So as we look at the overall, so we like the euro. We don't like the NASDAQ. And what's the bank's position in the volatility futures right now?
Yeah, that's important. So they didn't get out of their entire position. We're now at low levels of volatility. They're at about 55,000 contracts net long as of the last COT report. So that's, you know, that's a level that is still bearish, but it's not, you know, super bearish as it was when they were up at 100,000 contracts net long.
Yeah, they took off half. But I would assume on the next COT report, I bet they'll go back up to 75 or 80,000. What do you think?
Yeah, I would think that'd be about right because, they always buy on weakness and, volatility has fallen to, you know, very low levels and the last 3 days were not captured. So I would think that the next report, we're going to see them, you know, really kick that up. So I think they're preparing for, you know, if not an immediate sell-off, they'll build that position even into a Santa Claus rally and then we'll see something, in January.
Now, do the commercials typically carry a volatility position at all times when volatility is, you know, moderate to low and they add to it and sell from it, or do they ever get like totally out?
They play everything, it seems like, from, you know, long or short, and they always have a volatility position on. You can feel pretty, I feel fairly, you know, confident if they're net short volatility that, you know, markets continue to, you know, go higher. At the bottom of the market back in February, they were net short 40,000 contracts, volatility futures, which was a great sign to get long. So if we see that again, then you'll know, you know, that's a great time to get long. They don't tend to carry a volatility long position. They've never carried one this big for this long. They tend to have a, you know, just a smaller position. Yeah. So this, they're still in the ballpark of, you know, an unusual position.
Well, I mean, I'd like to, listen, if I could afford it, I'd be long thousands of volatility contracts too, just because I know, yes, volatility can go lower, but it's in a pretty good spot stretched. Now, your call of the year so far, I mean, you made many, many great calls every week here on the show, but your call of the year is obviously the bond market. You called for the end of the 36-year bull market, and so far we've got crushed. And in fact, The 10-year's gone from, I think, 1.3 to 2.3, and the 30's gone from almost 2 to over 3 again. What's your take on these markets now? I know they have to be a little bit oversold here, but that doesn't mean anything necessarily.
Right, right. I do think the bonds are oversold in the short term, so I wouldn't be shorting any more here. I was looking at the 30-year before we spoke just now, and I think we can get up to about – we're at just about 3 in the 30-year, 3%. I think we're going to get up to about 3.2%. And then I think the 30-year will have a reversal back down, and that will be the opportunity to – the reversal back down, that will be the opportunity for, you know, bonds to rally and for us to increase our short positions. Right now, we're light as far as it goes with treasuries because of, you know, this potential for a snap back up. But we're still heavily short emerging market bonds and high yield bonds. Both I think are still, I mean, if you could short right here, you're going to have, they have the potential to bounce in your face a bit, but long term, they've got a lot lower to go. Same thing with treasuries, but I feel more confident that emerging market bonds, for example, are just going to continue to get killed.
Which makes sense. I mean, you know, when we have such a mess going on everywhere, I mean, that does make sense because their liquidity is probably not very good at the moment. So now, what is your view on oil? I mentioned it earlier, and I don't like oil, and I don't know what your position is now, but I think oil is a sell basically right here at 46 and change.
Yeah, I'm long-term bearish. There's a pattern that's setting up that I don't have it right in front of me, but I think it's right around 48. There's a pivot area, and that projects down to the low 30s. So, you know, I'm longer-term very bearish on oil, and I want to see what happens around, you know, 48. If it can pop above 48, then it's going to, you know, take a little bit longer, but I do think low 30s are coming at some point. That's what the bigger pattern is suggesting. So I would short here, and I would short into any additional strength.
And that's our guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com out in Sydney. Where's your next stop after Sydney, young man?
Oh, we're going to Perth. So still Australia, but it's like the distance between New York and L.A., so we'll be on the West Coast.
Do you fly there? Or you take a train? How do you get there?
Yeah, we have to fly. I think train would be quite a long trip. But Australia is about the same size as continental U.S. Most of the central part of the country, though, is fairly desolate and arid. So anybody that's seen Mad Max,
Crocodile Dundee, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Thanks for calling in from Sydney, man. I appreciate it.
Always great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from Sydney, Australia, on his way to Perth. He'll be back with us maybe next week. We'll see if he doesn't get eaten by an alligator. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. The Bubba Show.
Turn the quiet up.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.